Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss, Nick, here with you. And who's got it better than us? Nobody. Before we get into the latest and the greatest with the New York Giants coach John Harbaugh, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And we are off. All right. Well, after a day of plane watching, dinners, Ian O'Connor novels, ending with Paul Schwartz and Josina Anderson tweets, 11:30 p.m., everything just blows up. Everything changes. The Giants franchise is back. It's back. There is now some respectability. There is now some hope. And I think we are on the precipice of a lot of fun. And that's what matters in all this, isn't it, fellas? Fun. Because Weiss, I believe I heard you talking on Bobby's live stream yesterday at some point, and I've said it on this podcast too. The Giants have sucked the life out of me to the extent that I had no idea who was in the playoffs, what draft seeding mattered, who needed to lose, who needed to win. I could not have been more checked out, could not have been more upset and depressed as a season ticket holder who, as early as last year, was trying to figure out a way to offload my PSLs because I didn't want the headache anymore. Feeling completely distraught going into an off season where you fire the coach, your GM is left on a 1 year expiring contract, and who is going to come work for this mess? And then John Harbaugh pops free. I believe his worst records in the last 18 years, 8-9. I know that that's true, at least in the last 10.
They haven't many losing seasons.
Very few losing seasons. And we spoke about this previously, and it's kind of the narrative surrounding this team. You needed a program builder. And I think a lot of people were hoping that that program builder would appear at the position of general manager, because that's how the Giants have always done things, from the top down. Bring in a GM who's built a winning program, who knows what they're doing, bring in the coach, and finally have that discipline, that structure, that stay out of my way, I know what I'm doing attitude, that mentality. And they finally have it, not in the form of a GM, but in a coach who has built very successful programs over the years and who, like I said, will bring respectability to the Giants for the first time in a long time. Before I let you guys speak, I think yesterday had the potential to be the most embarrassing day as a Giants fan in a long time. You fly out the Tisch jet to Baltimore, you bring Harbaugh back. Every single report was the Giants do not want to let him leave the building. Now, from a common sense standpoint, I get it from the Giants' perspective. From John Harbaugh's perspective, it makes absolutely no sense. You're the guy or the gal who's in a long-term relationship. You get broken up with, or you break up with your partner. You don't just start dating and getting engaged to the next guy that you meet 5 minutes later. That's ill-advised. It's the first time you're free in a long time. You've only known the Baltimore Ravens. You want to go explore. You want to see other facilities. You want to go and see what's out there. And towards the end of the day, when there was no word that John Harbaugh had put pen to paper, the word starts coming out. Oh, he's going home. He's got a meeting with the Titans tomorrow. You know, this, that, and the other thing. The sky was falling. Ian O'Connor's doing Pat Hanlon PR for the organization. You know, oh, this meeting was great, and that was great, and Harbaugh loved this, and Harbaugh met with this person, and Eli called, and this person called, and, you know, all this stuff to finally end with that Paul Schwartz tweet at 11:30 p.m. that Harbaugh did do probably the ill-advised thing, although favorable for us, that he is going to put pen to paper and sign as the next head coach of the New York Giants instead of going out and exploring. And let me just say that as much shit as we have spoken about John Mara, Steve Tisch, Chris Mara, Tim McDonald, Joe Shane, they deserve all the credit in the world. I'm sure throughout the episode we'll go one by one and assign percentages and who deserves credit and who doesn't deserve credit. But collectively as a group, to get a guy of that stature in the building after 18 years and for him not to take another meeting, I think is a testament to the self-reflection that they've done, that they realize what they finally need. They realize what they need not to do anymore and just let him do his thing. And here we are. Weiss.
Yeah, I mean, broke it down very well. It was a monumental day. Waking up and seeing the just my timeline filled with flight aware screenshots, and like I'm like, what is going on here? Like and flying them in on the plane, and then that entire day, and you're just like refreshing your Twitter, like, is it done? Is it done? Is it done? Asking the few people that you actually trust if there's like you're close, like doing everything you can to kind of hope and, you know, inch your way to the result that you want. And then him leaving, and then 2 hours later, it was just a crazy day. One day I'll never forget. But listen, landing John Harbaugh, you said it, it brings respectability back to this organization. There's a CEO now, there's a face of the organization now. And I think the biggest thing that this does, in my opinion, is the standard is back. Like the Giants have lost their standard, right? They had lost it when Tom Coughlin left. Tom Coughlin lost when 6-10 in back-to-back years and was fired. And ever since then, they had been just going through this cycle of coaching after coaches after coaches after coaches. And throughout that cycle, they had dropped their standard. Because they refuse to, you know, they refuse to acknowledge the mistakes that they've made. But bringing in John Harbaugh, it's just, it changes everything. Forget about the ceiling and can he lead us to the Super Bowl. Look at the floor. John Harbaugh has 3 losing seasons in 18 years in Baltimore. Only one of those seasons he lost less than 8 games. I mean, that he is... His floor is 8 games. Like, that is the standard now with John Harbaugh. And everything, like, I want to take you guys back to when they fired Brian Daboll, right? What was the thing, right? It was like, they want a guy with coaching experience. They want a guy that has been there, who's won. They want a guy who can, you know, be the CEO and a program builder and all these things that they describe. And you're sitting there to yourself saying, well, who is that? Is it Mike McCarthy? Is it Lou Anarumo? Like, I know he hasn't been a head coach, but he's been like a coordinator forever. Is it like, who is that? Who is that person? Is it Kevin Stefanski, right? Is he a program builder? Maybe. I don't know. What did he build in Cleveland? He had a couple good years, right? You talk yourself into these things. You don't got to talk yourself into John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh speaks, his resume speaks for himself. And he is exactly what the Giants want. And we talked about ownership and we can go into it more. But the fact that they put out there what they wanted and that exact person who checked those boxes became available. And I know Mike Tomlin became quote unquote available, but he's not really available.
He's not really available. Yeah.
John Harbaugh comes free and you immediately put on this full court press. And you didn't just do it silently. You told anybody that wanted to listen. I mean, Chris Mara going public to Ian O'Connor saying he went to Baltimore. I mean, that talk about dropping your nuts on the table. That showed that, you know what? An organization that has lost its way sort of found it. And I take this quote from Justin Penick. The Giants realize that they are the New York Football Giants. This is when we hear flagship franchise, when we hear ownership that's respected around the league, when you still hear those things, the Giants finally flex those muscles and show why that persona of them from a national standpoint is still there by them locking down John Harbaugh without him taking another visit, when everybody reported that this was going to be, you know, Harbaugh was going to do all, they sold him on that to the point where he didn't want to go anywhere else. And I'll say one more thing. This was so big for ownership because of the coverage, because of what was out there, because of everything that happened to them the past 10 years. And the fact that the moment they fired Brian Daboll and the coach that they wanted was exactly who John Harbaugh was. I told you guys this privately. They've lost a lot. This would have been the most embarrassing loss for the Mara family, for the Tisch family. That's why it was an all-out push. Previous head coaching searches, Tisch had his guys, Mara had his guys, the GM have their guys, and they sort of come together and quote-unquote collaboratively pick whoever they're going to pick. In this case, there's not one person in that building, including Joe Shane, who gave up some power in this, that didn't want John Harbaugh. And they all got him. And that, to me, shows that this organization is climbing out of that hole that they put themselves in for the past decade.
I have a few thoughts. So number one, there is a small part of me that's worried that like John Harbaugh just owns the state of New Jersey now, because to get him to take this deal up front without even taking other meetings, that gives me a moment of pause. And not necessarily because I don't think John Harbaugh is a good coach or I don't think he's worthy of said trust. It's just for him to not even take a meeting tells me that they have rolled out basically everything. I imagine that he's going to have a strong say in personnel. I imagine the budget for the support staff is going to be, we already know, he's bringing Monken along with him. I'll be very curious to see who they prioritize as far as looking at defensive coordinators. But for a while, as you said, Weiss, the Giants haven't acted like a flagship franchise. They haven't carried themselves like, we're better than this, aren't we? And there hasn't really been an adult for a long time. You think about the coaches who've come in since Tom Coughlin and their backgrounds. A lot of the hotshot coordinator types, a lot of the types who one good year in a supporting role, or in the case of Joe Judge, somebody who was in one place for a long time under the Belichick tree. But Harbaugh is very different. And we were talking about it when we did the show last week or the week before, the idea that you needed someone who could come in here and effectively reset everything, because we were so bearish on the GM and why he was even here to begin with, that if someone was going to come in to work with said GM, we effectively needed a coach who was going to have his way. He was going to push the GM to get what he wanted. And now, you know, half the tweets I see, well, we could get Isaiah Likely, we could get Tyler Linderbaum, and everybody's excited about the prospects of having a coach who has connections to players that are previously already have NFL experience. Now, as the Giants well know, and I wanted to ask you guys this, we know the Giants are pretty good at winning the offseason. What is the most important part of this upcoming offseason in your mind? Is it nailing the draft pick? Is it tailoring the roster around John Harbaugh guys and that supporting? Not like building block players, but guys who know what he's about, his culture, his identity. Is it putting the staff together? What do you think is the most important part of getting this next phase of John Harbaugh as the Giants coach right?
The most important thing for John Harbaugh now is the reason why I preferred him over Mike Tomlin if I had to choose. Building the coaching staff. Look at John Harbaugh's coaching tree.
Look, John Harbaugh. Look, hold on. You know what? This is a visual meme since we don't do video. John Harbaugh's coaching tree is this big, beautiful apple tree. And then visual meme, Mike Tomlin's coaching tree, the screen is blank. It's white. There's nothing there.
Hey, man, Arthur Smith might be the Titans head coach. You put some respect on Mike Tomlin's coaching tree.
I think Todd Haley's coaching in the UFL. No, it's on a serious note. Like, John Harbaugh, one of the reasons why I am so thrilled about this is you hear about the CEO thing, right? And you're like, if you get a CEO coach, you know, the coordinators, they come and go, right? Like, you might have a very good coordinator and he goes and you're struggling to replace him. And that sort of happened a little bit when they lost Mike McDonald. Although Zach Wore, if you look at what the Ravens defense was, it wasn't that bad. It just wasn't to the standard of Baltimore. With that being said, building this coaching staff, Todd Monken to me, and I told you guys this last night, he's a really good offensive coordinator. And one of the best things about him, and this kind of sucks for him, because I'm sure he has aspirations of being a head coach, is he's probably not going to be a head coach in the NFL. He's 60 some odd years old. I think he's similar to Josh McDaniels in the sense that I think he's going to be with the Giants for a long time. And so getting him in the building, and then it's not even the coordinators, the position coaches. I'm going to name names, and these are guys that John Harbaugh had on his coaching staff recently. Mike McDonald, Jesse Minter, Anthony Weaver, Denard Wilson, you know, Wink Martindale back in the day. I mean, you hear those names and you're like, okay, like these are guys that are either AF prominent jobs or head coaches or interviewing for head coaches. That's what I want. I don't want the Giants to be like, well, you know, and I'm using this as an example, Charlie Bullen did a great job, you know, in the final 6 weeks. Like, no. One of the reasons why you hire John Harbaugh is because you want him to do what he does best. And the one of the best things he does, and it's why I consider him one of the best CEO coaches in the NFL, is his ability to build a coaching staff. That's going to be the number one thing for me.
I'll point out one thing. I just want to be clear. This is not anti-Harbaugh. Like, I'm a Harbaugh fan. I'm a fan of the hiring. I think that there's I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. I don't think the Giants' approach to head coach has been necessarily wrong the last few cycles. I think what smart teams do, and the Giants are not a smart team until last night at 11:30, is that they'll try to go out and find that hot young coordinator who's ready to take that next step and allow them to become that the next Harbaugh, the next Tomlin, the next Andy Reid, the guy who you can say, I found him. That's our guy, and he's going to be here for the next 15 to 20 years. I think that's every team's goal when they go out and they hire that young, sexy candidate. The Giants, I think, were smart for attempting that. Now, the Giants think they are smarter than they are and will go out and do that while being totally unable to surround that type of coach with what they need to succeed. And because of that, the Giants can no longer go that route. I think you can make a perfectly fine argument that someone like Jesse Minter or Kubiak, like, we don't know. We're going to look back in 5 or 10 years and be like, you know what, like Jesse Minter, wherever he winds up, be it Baltimore replacing Harbaugh or Atlanta, you know, Kubiak, maybe Atlanta, and say like, okay, like, you know, those guys had better win-loss record, had more playoff success than John Harbaugh did in New York. That's all well and good. But because the Giants are unable to get out of their own way internally and their process is a mess and their front office is a mess and there's just too much nepotism, that type of candidate is unable to succeed here.
Right.
And so I think part of the realization was not necessarily, well, we've done the young coordinator thing and it hasn't worked. I think it's maybe it's a me problem. Maybe we're the problem. Let's go get someone with an experience building this shit out first and get out of the way. And so you can make the argument that in the next 5-10 years, Jesse Minter may wind up a better head coach, or Clint Kubiak may wind up a better head coach, but they are not the head coach for the New York Giants. They are not the type of coach that the Giants need right now. John Harbaugh is. John Harbaugh is the best of that breed, and he is available, and the Giants got him, and they deserve all the credit in the world. And so I feel like that is a point that I've been trying to make over the last week or two when discussing the type of candidate the Giants should bring in. And yeah, I think this is all a good thing.
You make a great point. The one thing I will add is, like, when you talk about like Jesse Minter, Chris Shule, these are not the right candidates for the Giants right now. The Giants don't have that support structure.
Exactly.
Where they can bring in a young coach like the Ravens did when they brought in that special teams coach 18 years ago and saw what he became. They don't have Ozzie Newsome, you know, this respected executive in their front office. You know, Pittsburgh had that front office structure when they went and they got Mike Tomlin. You know, like, you constantly, like, people always say, we're looking for the next McVay, we're looking for this, we're looking for that. But is your organization ready? Like, can Jesse Minter walk into the Giants organization and put ownership in his place? No, he can't. He might end up being a coach that can do that, and I think he will be, but he isn't right now.
Exactly.
John Harbaugh is. John Harbaugh can walk into a room, and he's probably the smartest football guy in there, in a lot of rooms.
Yeah.
And he comes from a football family, and it's the Harbaughs, and you look at them with that respect. And that's why what you said is a great point. I love Jesse Minter. I think Jesse Minter is going to be a great head coach. I think Baltimore is going to hire Jesse Minter. I like Clint Kubiak. I like Chris Shula. These guys are all great coordinators. I like Jeff Hafley. But I don't – and I'll even put Kevin Stefanski in there for a little bit. I know Stefanski has coaching experience. But I don't believe those guys could walk into the Giants facility and demand the level of respect and be given that power. Once upon a time, Joe Judge walked in the facility, and what did they do to him? They told him, Jason Garrett's going to be offensive coordinator because we respect him. Forget what you want. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, Brian Daboll is staying in Buffalo.
Yeah. Pat Shurmur walked in, and he walked out before he even was able to put his foot on the ground. So, like, the Giants needed that. And the ownership knew it. That's why they were all in on that. There was no rebuttal from anybody.
So I think two things to build off of what you just said, because I think you both made a really good point about when you're looking at that hot coordinator, a lot of the time that is perceived as being the instant solution. The idea that this guy just coached a top 5 or 10 offense or defense, and he can elevate the talent we already have. We can get more out of what we have, and we can hit the ground running. I think when you hire someone who's 63, like John Harbaugh, somebody who's already won a Super Bowl, we know in the history of the league, no one has ever won 2 Super Bowls with 2 different franchises as a head coach. I think there's a real understanding now that this isn't necessarily about this year or next year. This is about building what the rest of the decade of Giants football is going to look like. And John Harbaugh might only be here 3 or 4 years. He might get to 64 or 65, and the Giants might have identified a coordinator internally or externally. And maybe John Harbaugh does something football operations-wise once he's done with coaching. But I think this is a real sign that the Giants are not looking for an instant solution. And I know that sounds a little counterintuitive in the fact that Harbaugh is 63. He is on the older side for a head coach. I think this tells you the Giants are kind of tired of half-assing it and tells you they understand just how deep the problems are, because otherwise they wouldn't have handed Harbaugh the level of autonomy he's going to be getting, and they wouldn't have offered him the amount of money they offered him, frankly, if they weren't prepared to let him do what they felt he needed to do to get this operation where it needs to be. Because like we've talked about all regular season, this is so much more than just talent issues. These are legitimate top to bottom. How do we dress the right 46 guys for game day? Basic management issues that you're not going to have with a head coach like John Harbaugh.
I bring up the Chiefs example of Andy Reid, and I think it's such a great example, but I want people to understand I'm not comparing, like, I'm not expecting 3 Super Bowls. Like, we know Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, right? But Kansas City was in a similar spot like the Giants. Prior to them hiring Andy Reid, Romeo Crennel, Todd Haley, Herm Edwards, they were coaching there for two, three years, and they were gone. When they brought Andy Reid in, Andy Reid built that front office. He built the structure there. He built that organization. He taught them how to win. He raised the standard. And obviously, you know, you take some luck and it takes some skill, and you get Mahomes, and then you take
Mahomes
the Super Bowls, right? Yeah. But even in the beginning, like, you're going head coach, head coach, head coach, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, losing, losing, losing. Andy Reid, you know, he raised the standard by winning 10, 11 games with Alex Smith, and then eventually took a swing on the quarterback. Now, we hope that swing that the Giants have taken with Jackson Dart, you know, I mean, we're all hoping for Mahomes, but we're hoping for success there, right? So this hire is not about ceiling. It's about raising the floor, bringing you back so that you have that infrastructure in place so that if one day, you know, in 10 years, if John Harbaugh walks away, or 6 years or 7 years, whatever, you have that structure in place that Baltimore has right now, where they're about to go out with a roster ready to win now and go get that young coordinator to get them over the hump. Again, there's different pathways to stability. There's different pathways to championships. But when you look at this Harbaugh thing, it's good to compare it to what happened with the Chiefs when they hired Andy Reid. Obviously, you get that level of quarterback play. Everything else falls into place. And
I think a succinct way of putting that would be that coaching provides you a floor and talent is what provides you the ceiling.
100%. Say that one more time.
Coaching will provide you the floor and talent will get you the ceiling.
There you go.
And if the Giants are as talented and have as good young a nucleus as Joe Shane wants us to believe, well, they certainly now have the floor. Let's see
what Harbaugh thinks.
And yeah, and so let's see what the ceiling is.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about ownership for a second. So maybe I'm just being a conspiracy theorist, but I don't think it was a mistake that of all people associated with the Giants organization, Chris Mara was the one that went to Owings Mills.
I can tell you right now that is not a conspiracy theory.
That is not a conspiracy theory.
I got a note this morning and someone told me that I was told you can thank Chris Mara.
And I was told it was collective, but yeah, Chris Mara, Steve Tisch, they wanted this. They wanted this. Which begs the question, obviously John Mara going through what he's going through. It's obvious that Chris Mara is taking a much larger role in this, right? When they have the press conference, when is it, next week, Monday or Tuesday, whenever they bring Harbaugh in and make it official, does Chris Mara stand in front of the cameras? Is he taking more pictures? Is he shaking hands with everybody? Is he talking to media members? Like, are they slowly starting this, making this transition public?
I would guess yes.
Does Steve Tisch stand in front of the camera? Like, that's what I want to know. Obviously, I hope John Mara well. And shout out to the Maras and shout out to the Tishes. They didn't act like a mom and pop shop here. I heard his contract is more than $100 million. I heard they've given him an insane amount of budget to go build. It's not just coordinators with Harbaugh guys. He has a very large coaching staff. He has a lot of assistant coaches. He has a lot of assistant to assistant coaches. I mean, this is a big operation that he's going to put together here over the coming weeks and months. One of the beautiful things about Baltimore, and a lot of people have been introduced to him over the last, since his press conference, but Steve Bisciotti is a walking checkbook. He's not even like one of the more wealthier billionaires, but he knows the best way to invest in your business that's a sports team is by putting money to it and then winning. That raises the value of a sports team. I know a lot of people, that might be shocking to them, but winning raises, the value.
Might be shocking to some ownership groups around the world of professional sports, not necessarily the fans.
Steve Bisciotti really is somebody that invests and defers and doesn't meddle. And that's why one of the things early on was I was told by people in Baltimore, like, your ownership is going to have to change the way they operate if they want John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is not used to this type of ownership hierarchy. Steve Bisciotti is a single man, was a one-man show, and he has people across the board. And I think he invested heavily in Harbaugh and getting the right coaching staff. And there was a lot of sound bites from his press conference that people carried, obviously the Tomlin thing, the fact that he said, somebody asked him if, Tyler Loop makes that field goal in Pittsburgh, what's going to happen? He's like, oh, he's going to be a coach for another week. But the last 2-3 minutes, if you go back and you watch what Steve Bisciotti said, you see three things. You see an owner that is very confident in how his football organization is run. You know there's a standard there. You know they want to compete for Super Bowls. You know that when people say the Ravens are one of the best organizations in football, you know why. Second, how much John Harbaugh meant to that organization and how much it affected people that he had to go. And number three is how their structure is made to bring in a young guy where their floor doesn't fall. Their standard doesn't fall. And part of that is because of how great of an owner he is. Comparing that to the Giants, I think they match that. They told him, you want roster control? And this was, I mean, listen, here's the thing about the whole roster, pro personnel roster control thing. Joe Shane can't overrule John Harbaugh. Like, that's, he's lucky to have a job. So that was,
we talked about this the other day. People were talking about he's doing such a good job being diplomatic. Well, if not, he's getting
he's lucky to have a job. Now, kudos to him for, I know that he wanted John Harbaugh. It wasn't like he was hoping, that John Harbaugh would say no. He wanted John Harbaugh. He knows Harbaugh is the most important thing to his career. It was all about ownership structure. That's why I think Chris Mara going there to Baltimore and spending the day with Harbaugh mattered in this entire thing. And the fact that he went public, I think, tells everyone that meeting, well, now we know it was a pretty good meeting because he got the job. But the fact that he went public means that he left that meeting knowing that John Harbaugh was going to be his next coach. And he left that meeting knowing that there isn't going to be no gray area. This is the John Harbaugh show. And he's going to have people there that are going to help him build this out. Compare it to New England, compare it to Kansas City, compare it to whatever you want to compare it to. But the way the Giants have operated is changing, and it's changing for the better, in my opinion.
I mean, I think we were begging for. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, just the most notable thing from the Bisciotti presser, Weiss, was when asked whether or not Lamar Jackson would have say on the next head coach, I loved his answer. He goes, he will have say, but he will not be a decision maker. I make the decisions. I want all the opinions, but I make the final decision. And I hope that is an attitude that John Harbaugh has embraced and brings to the Giants, because any smart business person ever wants all the information, wants every opinion and every little piece of data available to make the best decision possible. And the Giants have not done that over the last 10 years.
One of the things, I know this is going to put a smile on your face, Ethan, because you do love this kind of stuff. When it comes to the draft, Eric DaCosta, the general manager in Baltimore, and this was revealed in the press conference too, but DaCosta and John Harbaugh are best friends. I think DaCosta got a little bit emotional during that final 3-minute rant, if you want to call it, that Steve Bisciotti was going on. They are big on acquiring as many assets, understanding the comp formula system. That is not just subject to Baltimore. John Harbaugh was a part of that. So that's coming here. Understanding comp, understanding the trade value chart. I expect them to try to acquire as many picks. This isn't just, hey, John Harbaugh is going to decide we pick a number 5. No. That's not what this is. This is changing how you look, how you roster build. Changing. I know there's talks of they change the way they scout, but they're gonna change how they look at things analytically. Baltimore is one of the more analytically driven franchises in the NFL. It's not just about putting updated computers in your draft room. There's more to it, and that's what John Harbaugh is going to bring. But there is some concern. There is one or two concerns with Harbaugh. The late game blown lead stuff is real. The time management, clock management, situational stuff is real. They have lost a lot of games because of blown leads, clock management, time management. So that's going to be important here too. But I can't see how there's no Giant fan that isn't excited right now about where this organization is.
Off seasons are easier to win than actual games. We know this very well. We are sports fans. We keep tabs on the other sports too. It's very easy to do this part, but at the same time, they got probably the best possible candidate. If you prefer Mike Tomlin to John Harbaugh, that's fine. That's your prerogative.
Tomlin wasn't available.
But for argument's sake, like if you really want to be a pain in the ass about this and like you preferred Mike Tomlin or you wanted to see if Matt LaFleur ultimately became available, I get it. I do. But for once, and that's me saying this, the most doomerous person imaginable, it's okay to take a deep breath and say, okay, we made some progress today. There's a lot of work to do. We got to overhaul a lot, but this is the first step towards progress. This is the first step towards getting back to football games that matter in November and December. I'm not worried about Super Bowls. I'm not worried about ceiling. Right now, I want to not be out of the playoff mix by Halloween. I want to be in games, and I want players who want to be here. You want a real standard.
It shouldn't be that hard.
It really shouldn't be that hard.
I talked about this with Bobby Skinner, and he made a great point. Listen, almost half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
14 of 32 teams make the playoffs. You know, and every year there's a 9-1 team that gets in. So I agree with you, man. Like, I think ceiling is a great conversation to have, and I don't know what the Giants' ceiling is going to be with John Harbaugh, but
that's a champagne problem. This is a football team that is homeless on the street. We can worry about getting bounced in the divisional round or the conference title game when we get there. But for right now, getting off the street, taking a shower, shaving, these are more important than worrying about if the caviar is good or not at the hotel. Like, first things first, let's get to being a decent football team. Then we can complain about being bounced in the wild card round over and over again.
Ricky Scoops is the Twitter account, right?
That's my dog, unintended.
He hinted at Jim Leonard, who is the defensive back coach in Denver, former player, went to the University of Wisconsin. I think he played for the Jets and played for Harbaugh with the Ravens, is potentially the front runner for the defensive coordinator job.
That'll work for me. He runs a lot of zone, which, like, I think you're probably going to need to as you rebuild this secondary, but I have no qualms about Jim Leonard. It didn't go great for him as the DC at Wisconsin. He got passed over for the Cincinnati coach who became their head coach.
Which Fickle?
He got passed over for Luke Fickle when a lot of people thought he would become the head coach there. But no qualms about that. That should work. And look, ultimately, if we're getting to the point where we're just debating about which coordinator – is going to be able to extract the most out of a given group, those are good problems to have. Those are good problems to have when we can worry about the quality of our coordinators.
One name that I also heard about that could potentially come in like an advisory role to John Harbaugh is Chuck Pagano. Somebody that can come and help. He's a defensive minded guy, so I assume he's going to work a lot with the defense. But again, when we talk about culture building and all that, he's somebody that can, you know, assist with that. Been with Harbaugh for a long time. It's a good time to be a Giant fan.
And we've come on this show after drafts, after free agency, after trades, and felt pretty good about that individual move. The reason this feels so different is because this is foundational.
This directly impacts ownership's mentality.
This directly impacts every aspect of your operation. This isn't just one guy. And we've talked about that a lot, that it can't just be one guy. Even if Dart turns into, you know, a top 10, 5 quarterback, he can't do it by himself. You need more than just a handful of talented players to win consistently in this league. And a guy like John Harbaugh has the capacity to put this team in a position to have a team that doesn't make you actively miserable, that makes Ethan fall in love with football again. That's what we're looking for right now. We're not looking for anything ridiculous. And again, somebody asked me the other day, well, aren't you worried? Nobody's ever won a Super Bowl. It's like, I'm not worried about winning a Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, exactly. Really,
we can cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, our goal, we need to consistently be better than Washington. We need to be splitting with Dallas, and we need to be splitting at least with Philadelphia most years. That's our goal. And this is a guy who comes from a brutal division where most of the time, two or three of the other teams are consistently good, and those become the most important games on your schedule. Ultimately, he got fired because they lost one of those games. I think that matters a lot when you think about what the AFC North has been historically, especially over the last 5 years or so, where pretty much everybody has been reasonably competitive to varying degrees, even when Cleveland's not good. Cleveland always plays Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati tough. So I do think that matters. And for too long, the Giants have not had that ruggedness where they can hang with divisional opponents, even though they should, you know, other than beating Washington for what felt like 4 years straight, we shouldn't be getting dog walked by Dallas and Philly every single time we play them. We don't need to beat them both times, but we need to be splitting with them consistently.
I just want to win 8 games consistently right now.
That's how low the bar is.
Dude, I just want a standard of like, can we get to a standard of 8 games? Once we get to a standard of 8 games, then I will complain about constantly losing in the divisional round of the playoffs.
All right.
Sorry, can we, let's do step one first.
Okay.
Before we go, Ian O'Connor, Gary Myers, sum up their week.
Ian O'Connor, I mean.
Re-Apex. Word to Bill Simmons, re-Apex.
Legendary week for those guys.
I mean, Ian O'Connor was basically just copy and pasting text messages from Chris Mara. Now he's trying to sell
a book. I don't know if he was copy and pasting. He was locked in with Harbaugh's camp and the Giants camp, and his updates were freaking amazing, especially as the week went on.
I hated the golf scoreboard, though. I could have done without that.
I couldn't understand it because I don't understand golf scoreboards like that. I'm slow.
The lower the number, the better, Weiss.
The best – yeah, I got that. the best part about was yesterday when he said, hold the Jets. We're not leaving yet. I was like, oh.
And meanwhile, the Jet was in the air.
Yeah, I was like, wait, let me go check Doug Analytics on his flight, where the flight is. Legendary day, boys. Legendary.
I mean, bro, he had me trying to figure out where Arthur Blank's yacht was. I was in
I think Doug Analytics did. He showed us where his plane took off
for Florida, was coming back, and I was like, oh, where's Blank's yacht? Is it in Florida or is it somewhere else?
I was trying to explain to my dad yesterday about like how they were able to track the plane, and he kept telling me this is illegal, and I was like, it's not illegal. Don't worry. It's like, you know, I was like, it's like a license plate, so you're able to track like where it is at the time. And he just shook his head and said, the internet is just not a good place.
Well, he's right. He's right about that.
It's like you're not wrong about that, but we're trying to get John Harbaugh as our coach.
Yeah. I mean, this is just an average day for college football Twitter, soccer Twitter. Yeah. So
that, you know, that somebody told me is like, yo, this happens in college football all the time.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I remember the Lane Kiffin plane tracking just recently. Yeah. You know, we had the Brazilian contingent was also tracking, and they were just like, oh, we do this with soccer all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Otani was on plane watch.
Otani was on plane watch. Yeah.
Was he on plane watch?
Yeah. Because remember that person tweeted something along the lines of the Blue Jays reserved a sushi restaurant for 30 people in anticipation of the signing getting announced? Yeah.
I remember when Kawhi Leonard was a free agent there.
Yeah, they had the helicopter like he was OJ. They watched him land at the airport.
Yeah, I remember that. That was good. But it felt good. I sort of feel like Giant fans are ready to be unleashed.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be a fun ride. Or it might not be, and we'll just continue to be shit for another 10 years. How about that?
It can't possibly get any worse. Like, short of like lightning striking the building, nothing could.
No, that would actually be a positive.
I thought about that. Shorter of me getting hit by a car leaving the stadium, it cannot get worse. It really can't.
Like,
because at that point, it's like, you idiot, you went to a game and then you got hit by a car leaving. You know, you used to not even go to games. No, but I'm ready. I'm ready to spend money. I'm ready to travel to games. I told LPG this last night. I'm like, I'm with you, man. Give me some of your fucking plates. I'm wearing them. I'm going to games. Give me the schedule because I'm excited, man. I've been envious of Baltimore for so long, and now to have Harbaugh, it is. Mwah.
I mean, going into this past season, how many coaches realistically would you have taken ahead of John Harbaugh? And that's what I keep telling myself is there's like 5-6 guys, maybe 7 that I would take before him. And then I feel pretty good about this. Like, even regardless of the he's older, the way it ended in Baltimore, the late game stuff, we're talking what? Shanahan, Andy Reid, McVay. Like, we're talking about a very short list of guys we're taking ahead of him.
There, let me ask you a question. How many coaches would you trade a first round pick for? Forget about where the first round pick is. I'm just saying. Like, you would trade a first round pick for
Shanahan, McVay,
Jim Harbaugh,
Reed.
Yeah, Harbaugh, Reed.
O'Connell. Reed is a lot older. I don't know about that.
I'm Kevin just not O'Connell. Taking age into account. Like,
okay. Andy Reed. Okay. I wouldn't trade a first round pick for Kevin O'Connell. He lost the playoff game to Brian Daboll.
To be fair, we were playing defense for the Vikings that day.
But hey, listen, I'm just saying.
That was a great performance.
I think that's the list, Nick.
D'Amico Ryans.
I'd consider it. Considering he's so young, hey, I think Ethan, it's worth the conversation.
When they cleaned house in 22, I said, hey, give me Adam Peters and D'Amico Ryan's pairing.
I was on the Peters train. I was on the Peters McDaniel combo.
So Jim Harbaugh, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, the job he's doing this year. I mean, that's some legendary shit. Jim Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Andy Reid. Who else? There was one more name you threw out there, Nick.
There was six. O'Connell was your sixth.
O'Connell was six. I would do D'Amico. Jim Harbaugh, Reid. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else.
Not Kevin O'Connell.
For me, I would roll the dice with O'Connell. I think that's really it. You know, coming into the year, maybe Harbaugh, maybe John as well. I don't know if I would have done him first, but I would have at least thought about it just because the Giants are in such a desperate spot.
Are you there yet with Ben Johnson?
I really like it. I like his attitude. I like the fact he doesn't like the Packers. I would take Matt LaFleur.
Mike Vrabel? Would you trade it first for Mike Vrabel?
Could have had Mike Vrabel for free last year.
Yeah. So 6-7 coaches.
Yeah, not a lot. This is an upper quartile coach, which is a good place to be. This is the first time the Giants have had a quality proven head coach in a decade. You know, when you put it in perspective like that, the standards have fallen because the Giants have been in the wilderness for so long. This is somebody who gives you instant credibility. And look, hunting for credibility is dangerous as a team. We see teams do this all the time in free agency and trades and the coaches they hire. But the Giants need something. And this, in conjunction, you know, I keep seeing the graphic with Harbaugh, Dart, Neighbors, Scatabo, and I can't help but smile a little bit. The Giants need a lot more than just those four guys, Carter and Brian Burns. But this is something. This is a decent baseline to start from.
If Abdul Carter lives up to his potential, if Jackson Dart's a franchise quarterback, Malik Neighbors establishes himself as a wide receiver one, having those three is a good starting point.
Oh, yeah. You got three good guys on each side of the ball as your baseline.
The quarterback being the big one. But when you factor in the elite pass rusher, elite receiver.
Important archetypes. You got to have those guys.
They got them. All right, let's wrap it up. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the pod. Who knows? Maybe we'll go back to doing this weekly now that we're reinvigorated by John.
We're all in. I can see in Ethan's eyes that he's all in.
I'm all in. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.